This morning's message, an attitude check. Our reading scripture, we read from the Amplified Bible, and it reads similar in the King James Bible. It says, having this same attitude in yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus. Whereas in the King James Bible, it says, for having this same mind. Let this mind be in you. And we were talking about attitudes, strongholds of attitudes within the believer. And sometimes we ourselves can be our worst enemies. We have strongholds that we bring out of the old life into the new life with us, for those of us who've been born again. And we have to check those attitudes. Before we say something, before we do anything, it says, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. In other words, think about the other person before you say something. Think about what you're doing. Consider others before you consider yourselves. And that's what Jesus did. He came down here as a servant with us. He humbled himself as a servant, and that's who he actually was. That's who we actually have to be, is to serve one another, to lift one another up. And we talked about David last week, about King David and his confidence in fighting Goliath in the Battle of Goliath. We all like those mountaintop experiences. But if you would be able to be victorious on those mountaintop experiences, when we have those battles that we win, we also have to learn that the real battle before we get to the mountaintop is fought in the trenches. Yes. It's fought in the trenches. In other words, we may see the quarterback or the wide receiver or the lineman, of the running backs cheering and the crowds cheering them and everything. But the real battle was fought with that offensive guard or that offensive tackle or whatever, opening up that hole or giving the quarterback time to throw that pass or whatever. In our lives, the real battle comes when we subdue self. Our example, Jesus Christ, but we're going to look also at the Apostle Paul along with David this morning, because Paul is a better example, because after he was saved, after he was converted, we see a humbling of Paul where he was to allow different things. And sometimes that shows meekness, shows gentleness, shows you've grown in the Lord when you can allow things just to go on and a lot of times don't know whose side you're on. It's just, in the book of Psalms, Jesus, one of the scriptures says, you thought I was altogether like you because I was silent. In other words, a lot of times when people talking or saying things, you don't know what side they on if they don't say anything. You don't know if they're with you or against you. So sometimes if you just hold your peace, that person, they'll give them enough rope, they'll manifest what they are themselves. And David was a man like that, and Peter was a man like that. We all men like that. If that we're going to be manifesting those bad tendencies along with the good tendencies, but it's fought in the trenches. It's fought with, how can you crucify self? Not the other person. It's easy to jump on somebody else's case. But how about your own case? How about self? The scripture text comes from 1 Samuel, the 27th chapter. 1 Samuel, we'll just read the first through the third verse. It says, and David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more at any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maog, king of Gath. You can't run away from your problems. You can't run away from yourself. Paul said, when I tempted to do good, evil right there. The problem wasn't Saul. even though Saul was trying to kill him or whatever. And David had already killed Goliath. You remember, this was long after David had killed Goliath. This was a man 10, 11 feet tall and a giant among men. And David with confidence say, I'm going to take your head off your shoulders. But these little battles that he was fighting in trenches with Saul, David developed a bad attitude, an attitude of despondency. You even got over all kinds of things the Lord didn't help you day in and day out and all through your life. But now some sickness or illness or some misfortune or calamity or financial distress come up against you. And you get despondent. You kind of give up. How did that sound what David said? Sound like a man without a will to fight. Sound like a man that's running hiding from the problem. He sound like Elijah. Elijah had that mountaintop experience where he killed the 700 prophets of the grove. It was 450 prophets of the grove and 250 prophets of Jezebel. He had destroyed, he had killed all, those. But then Jezebel say, if you be here this time tomorrow, your life will be just like those prophets. He took off running and ran away and said, Lord, it's good that if I would die right now. Well, you get tired of fighting sometime and you're looking at problems and your attitude, your state of mind, you know, attitude is a state of mind. It's a disposition. It's how we see things. And here David saw things the wrong way. God wants us to have the same mind that Christ had. That attitude that you can, but through Christ, I can overcome all things. I'm victorious. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You see, no matter what come up against you, this too will pass. We can get through this because we're serving a God that can get us through.
Amen.
So we have to keep check on our attitude. We have to keep check on the way we're thinking. It says, bring every thought into the captivity and obedience of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
My first point is, in our offerings to God, it's probably a good time of year to talk about our offerings to God, whether it's our finances, our prayers, our time, whatever we offer to God. Looking at Cain, Brother Cain, Genesis 4 and 3, when it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn of the lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. God says, why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain. Why do you look so dejected? Why are you so sorry and despondent? If you do it good, you will be accepted if you do what's right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door. You got a problem. Your attitude is causing you a problem here. You know, that's what's wrong with the Christians today. If you in the churches, if you hear television, you hear who has the worst attitudes toward one another. It's Christians. Christians will jump on you before your heartbeat. Ah! They're going to have that. Who read what I gave you Wednesday night? About the attitudes, having a right attitude in the 13s. This generation, this time, and like I say, with our leader and everything, and the spirits that's going around, it's pervasive in the church because that's where God's fighting against the church. That's why a lot of us are having problems. Because we have that attitude of the world. It seeps in through television, through relatives, through friends, associates on the job and everything. That competitiveness. Always to criticize somebody. Always to put somebody on the spot. Always with an attitude of just nitpicking, just yah, yah, yah. You always at one another to show one another up. You want to be this. You're just so in everybody's face. Nobody's casual and laid back and calm. You know, what makes me feel good is going to my yoga class. In that yoga class, I started going to, I'm the only black in the class. Well, it's a black lady in the class. But all of us, I'm the young, one of the youngest ones in my 60s. Ooh. So everybody else in their 70s and 80s and things. Hey, Mr., how you doing? You know, I'm glad to have you here today. And they're happy, you know. And I'm helping getting their chairs, and we're talking or whatever. One guy was telling me about his Parkinson's. You know, they did an operation on him and everything. One lady, Ernest, she called me Ernest. And oh, Ernest, and this and that, that. And yeah, I'm listening going on. Because, you know, it's, if she don't understand or know my name, I learned that from my son. They used to call him Durrell. His name is Durrell, and they call him Daryl sometimes. But he said, I just let that go. I'm looking over that. He's not biting. I'm not biting. Oh, yeah, this ain't my name. My name is Emerson. You know, I say, I just let them call me that or whatever. When they understand, or later on, they may say, well, you know, I used to call you this, but I know your name. I got cousins and people, my wife's in-laws and things, some of them can't hardly pronounce my name or know my name. But the point is that she's speaking or that they're talking or whatever. See, the church is not like that. The church is like, you better say my name. You better say it right. You better speak to me. And then before church is over, which you're all going your way or whatever, nobody's talking. Nobody's casual. But they welcomed me to the class. So one day it was about four or five of us in there. And you know what makes me want to come? And one of them came and said, well, thank you for coming. We really want to thank. And they was thanking each other for coming because they encourage one another. See, that's the spirit the church should have. That's why God says, forsake not to assemble together of yourselves. One said, well, we can't be there. Well, let's just start late so everybody can be there and we can be there on time. Everybody be there because we all in this together. We want to assemble ourselves together. We don't want to be too formal where we leave somebody behind or whatever because we all glad of something. That's an attitude of thankfulness, appreciation, gratefulness of one another. But Cain was wroth. He was rejected, he felt. And did he do his offering right? It wasn't about the attitude. I mean, it wasn't about the offering. It was about the attitude. That's what I was telling you the other night in the book of Habakkuk when God says the priest was asking a question that the people had the way of the world. They had that contentious spirit. And they would offer up to God, and God wasn't accepting their good gift because of their attitudes toward one another.
Yes, yes.
See, the people in the church, the people of God, they're holy. That means they're like Christ. They don't have an attitude or disposition of rejection. They have an attitude that the world wants to catch. And like I say, now in that aerobics, in that yoga class, that may be a spirit of the world or whatever, because we know in the world, a lot of people now could be so nice, and a lot of people have a false piety. A lot of people can ask, how's your family? How's this? And really not be sincere. I told you the other day, a lot of people sell a lot of Christian records. You hear a lot of preachers preaching and everything, but they don't know Christ. So there's some different spirits out there, but there's a true spirit. Holiness is not contagious. You can't catch holiness. God has to give you holiness. So God separates the wheat and the tares. His messages, his preachers, because you can tell God's people by their love for one another. Amen. This man that was telling me about his disease or whatever, his Parkinson's or whatever, he really can't do the aerobics and the yoga really good. But he's trying. He's doing different things. His wife was telling me about she had a back surgery, knee surgery, about six or seven different really serious surgeries. She does it real good. But he really can't do it. But he's doing what he can. And we encourage one another. Because as long as you do what you can, we don't fault it. It's like your children. If they're trying to do something, you don't criticize them and talk about them. You encourage them and try to instruct them because everybody's not at that same level. So he tries and everything. And I say, well, man, I was sore the other day. I was hurting and everything. He said, yeah, I couldn't do this. He said, I was trying to do it, but I go as far as I can without hurting my. No, the idea is that you're trying, that you're putting forth with a good attitude. So God looks at our disposition, how we offer to him. in the book of Matthew, he says, now don't come to church and offer up your offering on, does he say that? Before you make an offering to God, you get right with your brother. Don't come to God and you're not right with your brothers and sisters. You can't hate your brothers and sisters and love God. So he had a attitude, a disposition problem. And, you know, Cain never was acceptable. He had a rebellious spirit in him. See, that's what I say. It comes and goes, but what's at the root of you offering to God? Is it a sacrificial offering? See, David was different. Listen at David here. David had caused this problem now because his pride, his arrogance. Joab had said, David, don't number the people. David said, no, I'm going to number the people. And the Jehovah Witnesses and a lot of different people, a lot of Protestant denominations have problem with this scripture because in Chronicles and then in Samuel in two different places, one says God pushed David to do this. And in the other one, it says Satan pushed David. So you have one saying God told him, another one says Satan. There's some forces. There's some forces at work in us. There's that's that force of nature in us, that carnal man. When you tempt to do good, evil is right there within you. Self is right there. You better watch your mouth. You better watch what you say. That thing is hard to bridle. David numbered Israel, and it was causing a plague. Everybody was dying because of David doing something. We will have to watch one another. That's why it says, watch ye one another. Be able to take somebody saying something. And he says he was trying to prevent this plague from spreading. 2 Samuel 24, chapter 21st verse. He says, why have you come, my lord the king? This is Arona, the guy that owned the threshing floor. And this plague was going on, and David came to him. And David replied, says, I've come to buy your threshing floor, to build an altar to the Lord there, so that he will stop this plague. Take it, my lord the king, and use it as you wish. You don't have to pay for it, David. Arona said to David, here are the oxen for the burnt offering, and you can use the threshing boards and ox yokes for wood to build a fire on the altar. I will give it all to you, your majesty. You may, and may the Lord your God accept your sacrifice. But the king replied to Arona, no, I insist on buying it from you, for I will not present burnt offerings to the Lord my God that have cost me nothing. So David paid him 50 pieces of silver for the threshing floor and the oxen. David said, if I do things and it doesn't cost me anything, I haven't given to the Lord. It has to cost. That's sacrificial giving. See, a lot of people want entitlement program. They always want to give someone else's stuff or something that doesn't cost them anything. But they want, that's a spirit, a covetous spirit, in other words. In other words, I'm not willing to lay down my life. I'm not willing to sacrifice my feelings, how I do things. I can sacrifice you calling me a name that's not my name. I can sacrifice all kinds of things. Because I want to make you look good. Jesus said, I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to lay down my life so that you'll be able to do this. So by me laying down my life, I can give you power to do this. How many of us willing to lay down our lives for one another? How many of us are willing for the sons of God to be manifest? We're looking for that. The true lovers of one another. That's what the world is looking for. But through customs and traditions, you hold on to that because that's a spirit, an attitude of this age. That's why he told Timothy, the spirit of the attitude of the, watch it in latter times, men will be lovers of self, lovers of pleasure. They're wanting to hold on everything and put nothing out and take away from other people or give when it's not costing them anything. But let it cost a little bit more in taxes. Let it cost a little bit of their time. Let it cost them something. They're not willing to do that. That's the custom and the traditions of the people. And that's why God says, through your customs and traditions, you made void the law of God. You made void the law of God by the way you live, your attitude, your disposition in everything you do. And church people are some of the worst people at this. The worst people. That's why he sends his angel messengers in the church to thread out the tares from the wheat. Those Pharisees, those people that think they're more than the publican that's praying and saying, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. They think because of this, you say, we tithe twice a week. We fast twice a week. We pay tithes and offerings. We do all this. We much more than this other person. You got too high an opinion of yourselves. We can't be opinionated like that. We have to look at the person of least understanding also. That's what, you know, a preacher has to be careful in his preaching and teaching. It says Jesus wouldn't harm a smoking flax or bruised reed, in other words. That's why I tell you when I'm teaching, and it was a young lady that comes in, she's not have a whole lot of understanding, and she sings or she talks or whatever, and I try to embrace her and bring her into things because these are the least of those of God. Those that ain't quite there yet. Those that ain't quite as much as someone else is. See, but a lot of people look for people of high esteem. They like the Pharisees. They want to reach up on a high level. They think that brings them up if they hobnobbing with the big brass, with the doctors and the lawyers and the teachers and the high people in society. But instead of being, Paul said, I've learned how to base myself, how to abase myself, to live in a low way. Coming up this year, we probably have a lot of people that go by traditions. I was being the storage and things. They're piling up on cabbage and black-eyed peas. Because through their traditions, eating the cabbage and the black-eyed peas help you financially. What the old people say, that's your green money, your folding money or whatever. And the others, your change or whatever. Be careful. Those are traditions. Those are superstitions. That's the way of change. See, that enters your thought life. You need to bring that into captivity. See, Cain wasn't following the instructions of God. Abel was following the instructions of God. He brought God the first fruit of his offering. See, that's what people do now. This time of year, they give God the change. More baskets are getting change in them this time of year. They're not putting money in the Salvation Army things at Walmarts and everything like they should, but they're putting a little change, but they're holding back on the big money. You see, that's why they're poor the rest of the year. That's why they can't get things done. You know, poor people have a poor mentality, and I was hearing Creflo Dollar talk about that one day. The poor people have a mentality that, well, it's got people in church. Other people will give. The church is doing well. They don't need my money. But I know how to take care of myself. That's why they're poor the rest of the year. That's why they never have anything. That's why they're struggling. Because he says, by your tradition, you're looking out for yourself. Cain was looking out for himself. What does God say, though? See, that's what our attitude, that's the thought life we should have. That's the mentality we should have. If we can bring every thought into captivity and obedience of Jesus Christ, let's check that attitude. Let's check our way of thinking. What's the sound mind here? The sound mind is in Malachi. God says, bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, and I'll see that you're blessed throughout the year. Mm-hmm. Not through your thinking that you can provide for yourself. He said he'd never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed breaking for bread. You give God as the widow woman, he says, feed the prophet first. I'll see that you don't, but you don't trust God.
Yeah. Praise
God. That's why you're broke. That's why you're struggling in life. That's why you can't get well. You're not trusting God first. You got a rebellious spirit. Check that attitude. Because it says stay away from those kind of people. From, I tell you what, in January, you take it in those churches that give it back to you, I give it back to you. If I didn't keep record, some people don't want a record or keep record of it. Because they know they're, if you give him to God, you're not, you don't have to measure. You know you didn't give God what belongs to him. But if you look at it from this year and look at in January and see, do your records have it in a column that you gave God? If your sum total was $20,000 last year, if that's your gross income, and if your receipts and offerings from church is not equal to 10% of that or more, then you stealing from God or you're not going to live right. God says it's not going to be well with you, but you think that it's going to be well and you're not honoring God. Your attitude is that you know more than God. That's your disposition. That's a bad attitude or a bad difference. David says it's going to have to cost me something. You know, the mega churches, a lot of churches, they say the problem they have is that the middle members give more than their offerings, more than their tithes. They're the better givers. The poor people, they don't give because they have a mentality. All these wealthy people, all these people, the church really don't need my money. So thus, they stay in poverty because they're robbing God because their mentality is God don't need what they have. But God's instructions is to each one of us. So the people in the middle, they're giving because they know how it is. The Word of Faith churches, a lot of Catholic churches, their parishioners are much wealthier most of the time. But the upper branches, what they're finding out, it's easy if you're making $20,000 to give God $2,000 as tithes and then whatever offering over you want to give. But where the problem comes in, if those making $200,000 or more, it's hard for them to give $20,000 in tithes. That's too much. You understand what I mean? That's why Jesus says it's hard for a rich man to enter in. Because if you make $1 million, you might want to up 10% of that. That would be $100,000, wouldn't it?
Yes.
So why would I give? You remember I told you the preacher that was suing the woman that won the lottery. It's easy to say if I win the lottery, I'm going to give the church this because it didn't cost you anything. You paid a dollar, a couple of dollars, and you won $200 million or $20 million or however much you want. So it's easy to pay tithes on that because it didn't cost you anything. That's other people's money. But you didn't really work for that. It didn't really cost you nothing. You got lucky. But you work and make that kind of money and then abide by God's rules and see where we have. Cain was a fugitive and a vagabond all of his life. See, so that's why a lot of the poor people, they're just in the same boat as Saul. They're in the same boat as Cain. They're rebellious against God's instructions of God's word. He said rebellion is a sin as witchcraft. You know what it is to do right and you're not doing it. That's just like practicing witchcraft. David represented, however, a man that was after God's own heart. That's why he had the tenacity, he had the confidence to go against Goliath, because he knew Goliath had proved all his life that God can deliver him, that God will deliver him. The more battles you fight and win for God, and the more faith you build up, the higher the mountains go. But watch that though. Remember I told you it's changing virtues into vices? Satan's good at that. That which you have called for a virtue, if you don't take heed to yourself, that becomes a vice. That becomes a stronghold in your life. You better keep your attitude in check. You know, a lot of times people say, he got a bad attitude. Or people tell young people, tell them, you better check your attitude. That's why you can't get them because of your attitude. The second point is faulty thinking. Well, that's a stronghold one. A lot of religions and false religions because they're not teaching that mind that's in Christ the correct way. People are not looking at that. Faulty thinking is my second point, I said. Just like all of us, David was given to times of this because the Spirit came upon them. It didn't dwell in them. In other words, the Spirit dwells in us, so we should constantly feed that Spirit and continue to grow in the Spirit and take heed in the Spirit, and it guides us and leads us into all truth.
But those people that are self-serving, those people that are self-centered, that Paul was talking about, the timid, that in the last days seducers are wax worse. They don't have the Spirit, but they're in the churches and everything. They're not growing in the Spirit, those that have it, because they're not obedient to God's word. They still look for self. Those are the ones that given to, you can tell them, a tree is known by the fruit of it. That's why I say, by talking, people can tell how much you know. And that's why it tells you, don't be of a whole lot of words when you go to the house of God. Don't be of a lot of speech when you go there, because people can tell whether you got good sense or not. You remember I said, David said, well, you know, Saul's going to kill me one of these days. And he went away. You know, David got in much more trouble by running from the problem than staying there. He was like Elijah. Instead of staying there fighting the problem, he's thinking to preserve his own life. He went over and he joined the Philistines. He went over to the enemy's side. And God had to prevent him, the Philistines had to prevent him from fighting against his own people. You know, people in the church today, they'll go home and talk with their spouses against the people in their church. They'll go home and talk to their relatives. They'll go on their jobs and different things. And they're talking against the very people in their churches. You know, he's just, instead of you praying for that brother or sister that have a problem, you talking about him, you condemning him. That's a stronghold there. That's faulty thinking. Because it says, pray ye for one another. Pray ye for one another. We should be praying for one another. David was found among the Philistines. After all that confidence of fighting Goliath, he runs from Saul and he's found among the Philistines. Not knowing that God's there all the time. A lot of us not knowing that God's been with us. Now he's silent. You remember I told you, God's watching you. The third point is because of your intents and motives of your heart. The intents and motives of the heart. God's looking at those, the intents and motives of what you're doing. Are you doing that to show someone up? Or why are you doing that? What reason are you doing what you're doing? God allows discipline to correct us in the correct wrong attitudes. You know, David had a bad attitude. David was a man of God, but David also was a man of sin, of blood, he said. That's why David had problems. You know, a lot of saints of God wonder why all they have problems. How are you treating everybody else? Do you think just because you serve God, you can talk to other people any kind of way? See, some people serving God and think they could just pop off and talk to people any kind of way, and people should kneel down to them because they say they're children of God. Nabal in the first chapter, 1 Samuel, the 25th chapter. You know, Nabal, you remember the story of Nabal? David was on the run from Saul, and David had a lot of men or whatever, and David was protecting the people around in that area, and he had sent some of his people to Nabal and say, we had protected you and give us some of your flock and herds we in need or whatever. And Nabal wouldn't give it to him. He said, a lot of people had strayed away from their masters or whatever. And David said, I didn't need all this protecting you and you won't give me a few. You remember I said, sometime our covetousness, our holding on for ourselves and that protection was going to cost Nabal something. It was costing some of his flocks and sheep and herd. He wouldn't give it to David. And David says, saddle up, men. We're going to visit him. You know, it's like when you do the Cartwright something and they say, saddle up, men. You know, I watch Cowboys a lot on the weekends when I'm at home on Sabbath day or something like that. Yep. And they say, saddle up, you know. Yep. And when they saddle up and all of them going there, they're going to kill Nabal for not giving David just a few provisions to help himself. Abigail came in. Abigail heard that because she knew how her husband was. And she intervened and stopped David from killing Nabal. Nabal threw his covetousness and everything, didn't pay for this protection or whatever. And he stopped David from killing Nabal at that time. But I say, God's looking at our intents and motives. David was dead wrong, right? Even though Nabal should have gave it to, how many of us, kind of, let's take Nabal's side here. Let's look at Nabal. See, because you notice that I love to take the underdog side. You jump on somebody, you do something, I'm going to come in and I'm trying to take the person's side that's the lowest. Not the accuser side. I'm going to take the one that you're accusing side. See, Satan is the accuser of the brother, so God takes the least side. Nabal said that a many men break away from their master. Nabal is of the world. How do Nabal know whether God, David is a man of God or not? David's wife knew that. I mean, Abigail knew that. Nabal's wife knew that. God had showed it to her. But he hadn't showed it to Nabal. That's why I say, be careful how you talk. That's why God says, Jesus comes along and says, pray for your enemies and do good to other men. Because people don't know who you are. God might not reveal that to Nabal. He hadn't revealed it to Nabal. And it had been, just like the time of Jesus, it's people breaking away and saying they of God. And I don't know that. Just like the man that you said was in the line or whatever you said, those grocery line. I was just listening because I'm trying to get started with church here. But what I want to find out, I've left my wallet a lot of time. I can understand that. So he must didn't buy no groceries. He should have got the line. If he didn't have a wallet, he shouldn't been able to get whatever he's going for. You know, I'm just using that as a for instance. But anyhow, because I was waiting for the part to drop that you gave himself. The thing is, with Nabal is, with Nabal, Nabal was right. And there's a lot of people, and that's why I was saying, I hope you wasn't gullible in that to do anything. See, that's why I say, don't say anything a lot of times because everybody's thinking the same thing. But what Nabal was saying is, there's a lot of churches out there today, and it's a lot of people sitting at home, and little old ladies is vulnerable to that, sending in to all, and I don't name any preachers, but sending in to these television preachers. Sending in the people saying God told them this. And that's why I say, when people say God told, I don't know you from Adam. I don't know if God told you that or not. Well, Nabal would have been the biggest fool as some of us today if we sent in to the preacher. You don't know that just because somebody say they're serving God, you will give them your money, huh? He on television or he at this church and you giving them your money, huh? I don't know that. I don't know that. Nabal didn't know that. David was wrong. David was in sin then and a stronghold in it. That's why I say, saints, you need to pray because it's a lot of time you sin and you cause problems. You need to slow down. Be quick to hear, but slow to speak. See, Proverbs think a lot of people say, don't do it my way and don't do it this way. Proverbs say, every man's ways right is in his own eyes. But the Lord weighs and examines the hearts of people and their motives, their intents. A way that seemeth right to a man, a lot of end up in death, destruction. A lot of cause division. It caused all kinds of problems. But I know you're a good man. I understand these things. But we have to beware. We have to listen, be observant, and I get a lot of my Proverbs because, like I say, each month in the year that has 31 days, I'm reading a chapter of Proverbs that gives you common sense, that gives you wisdom. It gives you strength when you read those, I've told my children. I tell the church, if y'all not reading Proverbs at least once a year, you don't have to read it every month that have 31 days. That's what I just do as an example, but at least once a year, you should take a month with 31 days and read a chapter out of Proverbs. Judgment. We don't really know or can see our spirits, our own spirits. You can't see yourself. That it says, as a man observing himself in the mirror and go away and forget what manner of man he is. You see, sometimes you forget how you appearing to people. Are you obnoxious? Are you pressing people? Are you kind of that guy, the guy as a guy I've been knowing for years and years. I think yesterday was going to be the last time I go by and see him or whatever, talk with him.
Why?
I'm preaching right now. And the thing is, it's a lot of times we can't understand things. But you see, people's attitudes or mouths stop things. A lot of times, God stopped things in our lives. A lot of times, you remember I was telling you about the lady that kept back and forth with me doing her landscaping, and she was being kind of petty with this or whatever. I hadn't been back, and she went, like I said, when she texted me, I don't know if it's going to be rude to tell her that I can't do it, I won't do it, or whatever. But she may have to pray to God to find out, because sometimes you don't answer a fool according to his folly. Sometimes you let people go when they think they didn't put one over on you. You let people go when they say certain things or whatever. But as I was preaching or teaching Wednesday night, but you avoid that person. You avoid them. Leave them alone. Because some things you have to figure out on your own. God had, that's why you're praying and walking with God. David, I told you, was had a difficult or bad spirit at times. And I need to hurry up. I'm kind of prolonging some of these sections. You remember David's wife, Michal? 2 Samuel, if you read 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter through the 21st chapter of Samuel, you can read the things along with about David. But see, in David's covetous spirit or whatever, the way David was, that David coveted his wife. David had went away, and Saul had gave his daughter Michal to someone else, to another man, and he married her. But when David came back and got stuff back from Saul or whatever, he got his wife back, he took Michal back away from her husband. He took her back because she was his first wife or whatever. But see, she had been soiled then. And David was taking her through covetousness because she had belonged to him. Just like the concubines that David had, that when he sinned against God, God told him that Absalom, his son, was asleep with these concubines. But when David was restored the kingship, he took these concubines back. See, that's why certain men or women can't preach or teach or be leaders, a thing in the church, or be over the things of God. Because even though they are God-fearing people, they have a bad attitude or disposition. David was self-centered. That's why he says, that's one of the reasons the sword would never leave David's house. Because, you know, a lot of us get in the church and think we don't have problems, that we don't have faults and failures, we don't have strongholds in our life. We keep fighting other people and trying to show people their strongholds, but we're not checking ourselves, our attitudes, our strongholds. Now, why would David take this woman away from his husband? Just because she used to be his wife, he can't sleep with her anymore. She ended up, you know, she didn't have children. She wouldn't be able to have children because her disposition toward God. But like I say, I don't want to be the punisher of evil. I don't want to be the one that puts somebody on the spot. I don't want to be the one that shames somebody else. Sometimes I just see how things work out. So Michal was deserving of all this, but David was kind of hard, a man of blood, to always see. You got people in the church, God saves them, but they're not higher ups. They don't have a developed character of that of Christ, because that wickedness don't leave. You see what I'm saying? They're not purging themselves. They have a bad spirit. They're always hard on people, and that's why life's so hard for some of them. You don't never give anybody else a break, so God's not allowing breaks for you. Do unto others if you have others do unto you. As you treat me, and that's the way people could treat you. And in the book of 2 Samuel, the 20th chapter, in the 3rd verse, is when he took the concubines back. It says, when David came to his palace in Jerusalem, he took the 10 concubines he had left to look after the palace and placed them in seclusion. Their needs were provided for, but he no longer slept with them, so each of them lived like a widow until she died. You see, some people don't have any empathy for other people. How would you like for me to shame you or do you things and for the other people to put you on the spot just because I can do it? See, that's why God doesn't give us power. You remember I said the church is lacking power? They have a form of godliness, Because with that power, you'll be belittling and making a fool out of other people and showing people up. And that's the way our leadership is. We always want to, that's why things go viral on the internet. We just like our leaders in this nation here. We always want to show somebody up as a buffoon. We always want to show people we smarter than them. Ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth that few are truly deceived. So David makes these women's lives miserable. But I would rather people be happy. I'm sacrificing that. Jesus sacrificed himself so that we would be able to enter into his joy. See, I'm happy for you that you're happy. I'm happy for my children that they're happy and enjoy it. But they don't have to be around me. I don't want them around me a lot of times because they get on my nerves. But I love them. And see, some people don't want people to do good away from around them. Some people don't want their brothers and sisters to prosper away from around them. We want that control that we have authority over them and that they're looking up to us. That's the spirit of wanting things to worship of people to look up to us. They hold the reins on that so people would look up to them. Jonah was such a preacher. God was trying to deal with Jonah because Jonah preached to people that he didn't love people. He wanted God to destroy the people. He knew in the prophecy of Nineveh that Assyria was going to be the ones that come in and take Israel captive. He didn't want to go preach. He ran from God instead of going preach to these people. He said, go preach to them, Jonah. Jonah ran the other way. After Jonah preached the most effective gospel message of his time and of that I've heard of, the whole town, the whole city repented. But Jonah was mad. Jonah had more compassion for a gourd than he had for the people. People in church don't care about you. They care about how they look. He said, God, you didn't make me look like a fool. I know you would change your mind. God is sovereign. God does what he want to do. If you look like a fool, that's why I say we need to be like Paul said, we are fools for your sake. If people say I'm a fool to give that preacher my money, to give that church my money, I'm giving it because God say to give it and don't care what you think about it. God told me to do it and I'm a fool for Christ's sake. Amen. But you care what men say. That's the reason you're in the condition you're in. He said, then the Lord said, Jonah, you feel sorry about that plant, that gourd that I dried up, though you did nothing to put it there. You got it for nothing and you care more about it. It came quickly and it died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living there, living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Should I feel sorry for such a great city? You didn't care about it. You said they're heathens, they're pagans, but they all turned at the preaching of Jonah. See, it's not about us. We want it all about us. We want it all about us. Things have to be all about us. James and John walked with Jesus, right? These was his apostles. They was with him. Jesus was going about casting out devils and healing and preaching. And if you look at the book of Luke, the 9th chapter, the 52nd through the 51st verse, he sent messengers ahead of him. And they went into a Samaritan village to make arrangements for him to come preach there. But the people would not welcome him because he was traveling toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us? Once they asked that, he said, and turned and he rebuked them. He says, you don't know what kind of spirit you have. You don't know what manner of spirit you are. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went on to another village. Just because someone's not listening at what you preach, just because your family don't believe in the religion you believe in, you want something to happen to them? You telling them that God's going to damn them to hell? You talking to your people? You talking to people just because they're not following your specific religion this way? Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. That's not your problem. See, that's what I say. We want to be know-it-alls. We want to know everything. We want to be over everything. And we want to know the outcome of everything. Everything. You remember I told you this is a soap opera mentality? We have to know all the way everything should end. And that's only God knows that. See, we have to put some things in God's hand.
have less gray hair, we let God worry about other people. We worry about, he said, save yourself from this untoward generation. If I can't preach to you and teach to you, I just need a way around you. It ain't to me to force you into some church, force you into some lifestyle. That's a stronghold in my life. He said, you don't know what manner of spirit y'all be. Y'all not of the same spirit of me. You want to call down and fire from these people and destroy just because they're not walking with us and understand us? You have to be able to tolerate. Solomon said you have to learn to tolerate a fool. People talk all kinds of crazy talk. But God gives you temperance. He gives you long-suffering. He gives you forbearance. But see, you hadn't developed any of that fruit of the Spirit. That's why you can't put up with people. Everything get on your nerves. Everything bothers you. That's consequences for sin. As we conclude, that's consequences for sin. But if you serve a sovereign God, you know that. That each of us has to give account of the deeds done in our body. We have to. See, that's what gives you joy and peace. That no, whatever someone does to you, they've done it to the least of Jesus' people. That God's repaid. That they're not mad at you, they're mad at Christ. They're not serving Christ. That's the way to keep your joy. That's the way to keep understanding. That's the way to keep peace. The consequences of sin. Listen at this about David in the second chapter. Then said Nathan to David, you're the man, David. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed you as king over Israel. I made you king. You didn't make yourself king. I spared you from the hand of Saul. What? Abigail had told him, everybody had been telling David that he was a child of God and that God was going to make him a king. But through out there fighting him for himself, fighting in the trenches, trying to protect and save his own life, it was David that made up his mind to go over to the Philistines that Saul was going to do him something. God done told you in his word how this would end. He said, I kept you from the hand of Saul. Whatever's then happened to me, God has done that for me. And that's why I say we have to be thankful and grateful to God in all consequences. We shouldn't get despondent. We shouldn't get down. He said, if you get down, sing psalms, read, study your Bible, meditate in your word, console yourself in God. But see, David, since you did this, you didn't kill Uriah. He said, I also gave your master's house and put your master's wives into your care and under your protection. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah, and if it had been too little, I would have given you much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord by doing evil in my sight? Just because you feel got a certain attitude, that don't give you a right to do what's wrong in my sight. You got to give account for the deeds done in your body. Just go somebody do you something, you go do somebody else something. You go take vengeance. You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and taken his wife to be your wife. You have killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house because you've despised me and taken Uriah the Hittite's wife to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, I will stir up evil against you from your own household. I'll cause these things to happen. Your children to rape and kill one another. I'll cause misfortune to happen to you. I will take your wives from before your eyes and give them to your companion. In other words, he gave those wives to, he gave Michael to who he wanted to. He gave the concubines to his son. So why are you mistreating the concubines? God caused this. Why are you evil or you're mad at your brother or sister? Why do you hate them? Whatever they're doing, God ordained that. God is sovereign. Whatever the devil's doing to you, whatever your enemy's doing to you, God allowed that to happen. If you're a child of God, he's protecting you. He's not putting on you anything you can't bear. You should bear up under trials and temptation. They say we joy in affliction and trial and tribulation. See, but you don't have enough of that mind that was in Christ who humbled himself even to death. Let that mind, let that attitude that you glory in these things, you take it with a cheerful attitude. In other words, that God, he's not, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him.
He says, indeed you did this secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and in broad daylight. David said to Nathan, I've sinned. But I told you, David was quick to repent. I've sinned, and the Lord also has allowed your sin to pass, Nathan said. Without further punishment, you shall not die. Nevertheless, because this deed you have given a great opportunity to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme him, that son is born shall die. We will kill the child. He will be a stillborn death, or he will die. That's all. You can say he's being aborted because he's going to die. He ain't going to live because of your sin, your consequences. What you did, David, your eyes, you could hold back that self-pleasure. The reason your family in a bind now is because of what you did. Whatever trouble and affliction y'all going through, look unto God. Whatever I go through, I look unto God. Because I put myself in that fix. Whatever fix you in, you put it, God has already ordained a way to correct that fix. Remember I told you God looks at the motives and intents of our hearts?
Yeah.
He says, 1 Samuel 25th chapter, 25th through the 28th verse. She says, I know Nabal is a wicked and ill-tempered man. See, a lot of times the wife might not tell the husband, or the husband might not tell the wife. The child might not tell the parent. The parent might not tell the child. The church member might not tell the other church member. But who all knows the faults and failures of other people? See, that's what the Bible says. You'll hide a multitude of sin sometime by not disclosing other things. She knew her husband wasn't no good. And she telling David that. She had to forbear because that was her husband. She had to put up with him. You have to put up with your children, your parents, your friends, people at church and whatever. You know they ain't walking right. You know they don't talk right. You know things ain't right. It ain't for you to put that out. He says, please don't pay any attention to him. He is a fool, just as his name suggests. But I never even saw the young men you sent. Now, my Lord, surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, since the Lord, what? Since the Lord hath kept you from murdering and taking vengeance into your own hand. That's why I told you David was about to sin. He was going to murder Nabal and take vengeance into his hand. And see, we didn't got that mentality ourselves, that attitude from watching television and the movies. It teaches you of destroying evil people and destroying it. One of the worst shows on television is this Law and Order SUV. There's some of the evilest people, and they show you this because of somebody did something to a child, and you would do this person that evil, that's running evil. See, that's conditioning your mind for evil. See, what people do is demonize the other person so that you can mistreat that person and not treat him as human. Television has messed your minds up. This world has messed your mind. Remember, the God of this world deceived the whole world. That's why your attitude has to be changed. It has to be twisted. God says, let this mind be in you that is in Christ. In church, people are the most messed up ones because they will get the world right. They're not going to allow God to get it right. They're going to do it themselves. Since the Lord kept you from murdering and taking vengeance into your own hands, let all your enemies and those who try to harm you be as cursed as Nabal, and here's a present. So she gave freely of the stuff Nabal was holding back. She brought it and gave to David. See, you don't have to fight for that. You don't pay your tithes and offerings. The church been making it all these years. The church can make it. But you will suffer. You will be without. You will be begging and borrowing and looking all bad. Nabal died that night. God killed him. David ended up with his wife. You was about to go kill him and have been wrong just like you did Uriah to take that man's wife. But let me handle it, David. I stopped him from doing. I stopped you from taking the law into your own hands. And he gave him that wife. But David wasn't happy with that wife. David went and got other wives. You never hear Abigail again after that. David was just covetous. And see, that's the problem. People don't look at. You know what people make heroes? The people that they worship. The people that have carnal and fleshly desires like this. They're not looking at Christ in these situations. Let's close with the Apostle Paul. This is the Apostle Paul telling us that we should be thankful and grateful to God. Now,
this may not sound like it, but this man is writing from a jail. He's in prison. Listen to this attitude of thankfulness. See, that's how we ought to be. This attitude, that's why he said he couldn't press. He had fought a good fight. Philippians 1, 12 through 17. Now I want you to know, believers, that what has happened to me, this imprisonment that was meant to stop me, has actually served to advance the spread of the gospel, of the good news regarding salvation. My imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become common knowledge throughout the Praetoria Guard and to everyone else. Everybody in the world knows why I'm in jail. It's for preaching the gospel. Everyone should know who you are and what you are. It's not for you to do that. God's making the advance. See, you are carnal. You want to see results. God was revealing this to Paul's spirit. That's why I say God speaks to your spirit. If you are achieving the objective, your joy and your peace is that God's word is going out. That I've set out to do what God told me to do. And that's why my joy and peace is that I'm a man after God's own heart through his spirit. I don't have to achieve it by my hands. I achieve it through the works that he has purposed in me to do. And he says, because of my chains, seeing that I'm doing well and that God has accomplished great things, most of the brothers have renewed confidence to the Lord and have more courage to speak the word of God concerning salvation without fear of the consequences, seeing that God can work his good in all circumstances. As they see me in jail, as they see these things happening to me, we're looking at the book of Romans the other night, where it says all of creation sees and they're waiting for, they're groaning for the manifestations of the sons of God. That made other people stand up and say, I'm going to die with him too. I'm going to die preaching and teaching the truth. Just as Paul did, let them slay my body. They can't take my mind. They can't take that God has given to me. And they start growing ever more. The gospel grew. Through persecution, the church grows. The more you put on Christ, the larger he grows. The more you condemn it. That's why I was telling a man the other day in McDonald's. I said, well, you trying to give me this Jehovah's Witness tract. I said, the only reason y'all start using the name of Jesus is you couldn't overcome it. Years ago, the Jehovah's Witnesses didn't name the name of Jesus. They would say he's a God, but he's not the God. He's not the one that we have to answer to. See, people incorporate. There's a lot of people using the name of Christ, and they're preaching the gospel, but they don't have God's spirit. They're not of God, and God's not showing that to you because you hadn't humbled yourself. You hadn't checked your attitude. You hadn't got that discernment of God to walk with joy and peace and say, I don't care if the false gospels be preached, if the false preachers, even the devil himself, who's transformed himself as the minister of the light, the gospel is being preached. Amen. And once the gospel is being preached, those that are God's will follow the truth. They'll come out of the false religions. The same people that preach in the same churches, if it's not right, they will go where God's lead them because their trust is in God. He says, some, it is true, are actually preaching Christ out of envy and rivalry toward me for no better reason than a competitive spirit or misguided ambitions. But others out of goodwill and a loyal spirit toward me. The latter preach Christ out of love because they know and I have been put here by God on purpose for the defense of the gospel. But the former preach Christ insincerely out of selfish ambition, self-promotion, thinking they're causing me distress in my prison. What then does it matter? So long as in every way, whether in pretense or self-promotion, for in all honesty to spread the truth, Christ is being preached. Long as the word is being preached. Amen. Long as the word is being preached. He says, go ye into all nations, preaching and teaching men the gospel. Those that accept it, those that feed and grow in it, evermore will become stronger and we will see the manifestations of the Son of God and this light will get greater. We need to be thankful and have an attitude of appreciation and gratefulness to God. He said, David, I'm doing this because you wasn't grateful for what I've done for you. You turned to sin. Don't turn to sin. He died to save you from your sin.
not in your sin. Heavenly Father,